Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know I did it.
All right, let's go. Ready to roll? Welcome to episode 36 of the Rex Chapman Show with super cool Josh Hopkins, my super dope homeboy from the L-Town.
Thank you. You're welcome, buddy. Here, Rex. It's great to be here.
Thanks for joining. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Well, we just saw each other.
We did.
Live and in person, yeah.
We did?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
We did.
You came to my lovely city of Austin for South by Southwest. You were doing promo stuff for your new CNN show, correct?
Yeah, which sounds crazy, right? Your new CNN show. Well, that and South by Southwest, I only found out that was a thing about a month ago.
Yeah, and it's worldwide famous. I wouldn't know.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I came in for that, and then you and I got to hang out one night. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't see each other for a few days, and now we're meeting back up again. But yeah, South by Southwest.
They had you busy, buddy. They had you going. Tell me, tell me a little bit about what the show is.
The show is, in a nutshell, it's nothing like Twitter. So there you go. It's just interviews. It's me sitting down with people I think are interesting, whether they're everyday heroes or celebrities or entertainers such as yourself, and sitting down having an honest conversation. The one thing we talk about all the time, Josh, is people, we generalize a lot, we all do, but until you sit down with someone, people are just endlessly complicated and fascinating. Until you sit down and talk to them, you never really know what makes them tick. So hopefully, anyway, we've had, we filmed several, and I'm now allowed to talk about a couple. So I know you know of a couple. I don't know if you know of a couple others, but so for the first time I've said anything, Kevin Love is going to come on, and he talks a lot about mental health. And I've always been a fan. I'm an even bigger fan.
That's cool.
Ben Stiller's coming on, Josh. Amazing. Really? Yeah.
I've been watching his new show. Does he talk a lot about that?
Yes, he does. And
what's it called again?
It's called Severance.
Yes.
Great. And I've been fortunate to see all of the episodes.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go week to week. So you're so cool.
Amazing. Amazing.
I'm having a ball with it now.
And then Jason Sudeikis, we got to interview Jason. I'm blown away. These people's generosity to want to come on and share their stories. So looking forward to it.
Isn't he shooting? Did you go to London for that?
Went to London for that. Yeah. They're shooting over there. And you actually, I met Jason would have been what, the day after I met you?
Yep.
2012.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be right?
Yep, we were in New Orleans.
It's silly that you and I haven't known each other longer than 10 years.
Yeah,
it doesn't even seem real.
You haven't known me. Known you. I've known you, mister. All right, well, went to London. This sounds like a big time production, fella. This isn't some...
It takes a big production to make me look good, Joshy.
Well,
you know that.
I can't wait for it, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's fun.
What'd you think of Austin?
Loved it.
Yeah,
loved it.
Great city, right?
Loved the place you're sitting in right now. Got to see it for the Fry's Tournament first time. Yeah, love Austin, love the food. You know, it's not unlike Louisville and Lexington. You know, for us, it's way bigger, of course, but it's, you know, it's still, you know, kind of, well, it's very rural, what we're used to growing up.
Right. Well, it's right? exploding in population, and all the tech companies are coming here, and Tesla and Google, and it's exploding. Yeah. Makes it great energy. It's got that music. Okay. So let's get to this, I was going to say rexitology. Brexitology. Let's talk about Brexit. I mean, do you think that they should leave the European Union or? Real quickly, let's do book club. Did you read anything this week?
I didn't. Did you?
Me neither. That's been book club. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to these brackets, Rex. What are we?
I want to.
Okay. I know you've been very attentive and studying up because you are going to be hosting. Want to take that out? You're hosting what?
Co-hosting. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sitting in the studio with Seth Davis and Candace Parker and Nabil Kareem this weekend, and then Ernie Johnson next weekend doing the tournament for TNT. So yes. I was supposed to do that a couple of years ago before the pandemic. And then, the tournament was canceled. So I'm flattered and amazed all at the same time that they would ask me to do this. So I'm going to have fun, man.
I know you are. I know they've got the right guy. I was fascinated the stuff you say when we're just watching a game alone, and here I've watched it and, you know, thought I'd played it all through high school and thought I knew. And then you're like, that guy's got really good thumbs. I'm like, what? Thumbs? Yeah. I mean, you gotta have a bit of a hitchhiker's thumb, but not too much of it. I'm like, no.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Well, I'm excited for you to do that. So you have studied up a little. Do you have a region?
Yeah.
Let's go region by region.
All right.
Do you want to start with our favorite region?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The Kentucky region.
Yes. And that is the East
region. I was on a call earlier today and they asked me if there were any teams. One of the calls, you know, with the, it's kind of the Turner CBS crew that, and someone said, do you want to talk about any teams that are, you know, on your mind? I said, yes, the Kentucky Wildcats are on my mind. Just need everybody to know that I will be an unapologetic homer.
Yes.
The entire time.
Good.
So that's out. That's that will happen.
I love that.
It's just understood.
Yes. Yes. Baylor, the one in the East.
Baylor's banged up, Baylor's still good. And the other thing about that scares me about Baylor is our guy, Coach Drew, friend of the show. Every time you get a team, and much like Gonzaga this year, every time you get a team that goes deep into the tournament, like those two teams, sure, they lost Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga did, and Baylor lost, you know, three NBA players. Those guys had to play, the guys on the team now had to play and practice against those other guys last year for the most part. It makes you so much better playing against pros, and then also getting to experience the tournament late into the tournament. Baylor still scares me, although, you know, arguably their two most counted on players aren't playing. But they've been playing well without them. I still think that they're scary. But I kind of like the draw, you know. I don't really like for Kentucky. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Well, St. Peter's, we obviously know nothing about, but
we hope that we take care of them.
We're certainly not overlooking the Peacocks.
No, we're not. And we're not overlooking the second round that I don't love. San Francisco's got a couple of guards that are really good. And Murray State, who is our same home state down in the western part of the Racers, where I grew up. I grew up down in that part of the state.
Where Larry and Carolyn Hopkins went to school.
That's right. And Ja Morant.
Murray State Racers. And Ja Morant.
They, you know, it's never fun playing an in-state team in the tournament. It doesn't matter who it is. So I don't particularly like that, but we have to take care of those guys if we plan on winning a title.
Right. And Murray State is good. I San Francisco, you're telling me a couple good guards is more than I already know, but I know for Murray State, that will be the biggest game in their program history, just about.
Yeah.
I mean, in some regards, I mean, the in-state, you know, the behemoth that Kentucky is in the shadow, and that program's so on the rise and doing so well, and putting out generational pros now, Ja Morant. Plus, I'm upset that I can't cheer for them.
I know.
Love that. I mean, I that's appointment TV for me, and I don't know. It just makes me upset. But I figured that would be one of the storylines they might attach to us, because it's a made-for TV event, and that's interesting. So
no question about it. And it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking for our program. You know, you're expected to blow them out.
Yeah.
And anything less than a blowout is a disappointment.
That's not a blowout team. That's a good
right.
squad.
They're very good.
Yeah.
As I go up further in the bracket, though, I don't particularly love either Virginia Tech or Texas. Purdue's good.
I've said all year, when in looking out teams that scare me, I've always said Purdue because they're huge. Kentucky has a problem with some length and big bodies, and they are huge.
Jaden Ivey for them, 6'6", 6'7". Maybe just plays that big. He's a problem. I mean, he's a high lottery guy, and he's so weird. He can dribble at you and go by you he's very slippery without even changing direction. And all of a sudden he's past you. He attacks the basket. He can shoot it. He can get a little sloppy at times, but they rely heavily on him, and he's super capable. But the other thing that's super weird, they've got a giant. They have a giant kid named Zach Edey, I think. He's 7'2", 7'3". He's big. And that would pose problems for almost anybody. However, if Kentucky were to play those guys at some point, I love that matchup with Oscar, because Oscar can really run. He just gets up and down the floor, and that, you know, Purdue's good and they take care of the ball pretty well, but I just don't see either they would crush us or we would crush them, I think, in a game like that.
Right. Well, yeah, if they're making shots and Kentucky can't get into transition, it's a problem.
But the team in the bracket that I think is the sleeper as it stands right now is UCLA. UCLA, the 4 seed, they almost won the title last year. They have almost everybody back. Yes, they've been kind of banged up all season long.
Yeah, but they're getting healthy now.
They're getting healthy right now. And they've just been feeling healthy the last 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks. And now they had from 2 days ago until, you know, two, three days from now to really get healthy. I feel like we're going to see the best UCLA team that we've seen all year right now. Akron's no joke though. So, you know, they're a physical team, but UCLA is the team that, like, I look at in that bracket, and cause they're not scared. Jaime Jaquez, he's kind of their best player.
Is amazing.
It seems like he's been there forever, and he probably has in today's game. He's terrific. And then our guy, Johnny Juzang, who would love to put it on the Wildcats if we were to ever face them. but that would take some doing. But they're kind of my sleeper in the East.
Yeah, they went far. They're not scared. That Jaime kid also proved last year. He is he won him in your bunker.
Yeah,
he's not afraid of the lights, and he welcomes all the smoke.
Yeah, that's what we, you know, he's the one guy that we say he gives no F's. Mm-hmm. He gives no F's. He just plays basketball. I love watching him play. The Rex Chapman Show is sponsored by Ticket Smarter. Ticket Smarter helps customers from all walks of life experience the power and excitement of live events by giving back through children's charities and creating helpful partnerships. $1 from every transaction will help our charitable partners, including St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, the V Foundation, Quarterback and Children's Health Foundation, and Coach to Cure MD. Ticket Smarter is the official ticket resale partner of PBR, NJCAA, and over 35 collegiate conferences with 250 plus universities, including the Pac-12. While I'm here in Brooklyn, I could catch a Nets game or any of the concerts coming to the Barclays Center. Buying with Ticket Smarter is quick, easy, and 100% guaranteed tickets. Find tickets to more than 125,000 concerts, sports, and theater events. Order now. So you want to jump up to the West?
Sure, let's do that. With your number one seed, the overall number one seed, Gonzaga. They were expected to be the number one seed, and here they are.
I'm having to get used to this too. It's Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga because they're the Zags. They're not the Zogs. All right.
Okay.
And that's how you have to start doing it, or it's going to be a problem.
Gonzaga.
I say Gonzaga.
Tomato. Okay. Gonzaga. My bad. What do you?
I love them.
They were expected to be this.
Yes.
Beginning of the year, they're expected to be the number one seed, and here they are, the number one seed. So that's for a reason.
If they would have had the big kid last year instead of Drew Timmy, they probably won it. They would have probably won it.
Well, Chet
Holmgren.
So I don't know.
Chet Holmgren for Gonzaga.
Yeah,
is a freak of nature. He's
is he
really
gonna be
good.
The number one pick? He's one through three for sure, right?
You know? I think he is. I think he will
just
be.
Too
yeah.
Different.
Yeah,
perfect
you know,
for today's game with the shooting.
When I look at his body, like you look at his body and immediately I go, that's Sean Bradley. And way back when, you know, you wouldn't have let him play like that. Like coaches wouldn't have let him play out on the court. They would have forced him to go down and try to play in the post. And of course he's good down there. He's weirdly good, even though he's very slim, very slim. He's a super smart player. The way he passes the ball, he's just got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. He's dirty, you know, like I'm not saying he's a dirty player. He's like got that dirty mindset that he's out there to play. He's out there to kill you. Mm-hmm. And he's not afraid. And he can shoot the shit out of it. He shoots over 40% from three. I mean, that's just phenomenal. And then he blocks shots. He blocks shots at an elite rate. He rebounds.
Three a game, right?
He rebounds. But the other part about their guards are so good. But he's got Drew Timmy, who is a terrific college player. Terrific mm-hmm. college player.
Yeah.
They're formidable. And I've tried to beat them. I've tried to beat them with this bracket. I just don't see anybody that can do it. Duke has talent, but I'm off Duke. Duke, I really liked them early on, and I liked them for a while. Their Paolo Banchero is really good. They've got another lottery pick, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Griffin?
Griffin.
The guard.
Yeah.
Two guard.
Yep. Yeah, he's like 6'6". They've got really good talent. They've got the shot blocker, Mark Williams, inside. And they're really good, but their lack of real point guard hurts them, and it hurts them at weird times, and especially in tournament at tournament time. If your guards aren't good, you just can't survive. And they're shaky in the backcourt. They're good. Keels is good. Wendell Moore is good, but they're not point guards, and they really struggle at times, you know, in important moments in the game, due to the fact they don't have a true point guard out there at times.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. With the Zags, going back to them, the thing I always say is, because they're going to do what they always do. They're in the weak league, yeah, and they're not prepared. And they come. This is different than your dad's Gonzaga team last year was too, in that now they've got lottery picks on those teams. Yeah. They were always just like really good because they were 4-year players and smart and great, you know, coached really well. Now they got the talent to their due, for one, and they've got everything it takes. And they're scary. Built to beat Kentucky. I mean, built.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible matchup for Kentucky.
But I've got it happening. No, I was thinking about that. They're just frightening. They're a veteran team with, you know, arguably the best player in college basketball, and Chet Holmgren. Mark Few's going to get there. You're right.
Yeah.
But gamblers will say you're never due.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me throw out a couple of teams and just hear what you say. Okay.
Yeah.
Memphis, who's been coming around as of late and looks like a pro team out there.
Yeah. It's weird. They went through their struggles this year, and they had one of the kids that, you know, like everybody wanted, the kid Imani Bates, and he's out with a back injury that I don't know if he has a back injury or if it's just one of those wink, wink back injury. He's not going to play, but it also him going out and their chemistry getting better. There's some thought that could have something to do with it, you know, with their reemergence. Also they went through some injuries and COVID stuff.
Yeah.
They've got the big kid inside, Jalen Duren, I think is his name. Duren.
Yeah.
And he like when I watch him, he as a 18, 19 year old, he looks to me like Chris Webber used to look at 18, 19
that's
years old.
Great. That's
just like comparison. He's just big, like 6'9", 10", 250. Like right. where did that kid come from?
Athletic.
And yeah, but you know, he's not over the last couple months, he's been, you know, becoming a double-double guy and becoming more consistent as he would. He's, you know, played a lot of basketball. They've been through some adversity. They're one of those scary teams that, you know, could, you know, be playing well at the right time, but I just don't trust them.
But they've got
they're
tough
scary.
For Boise State's
a tough
game for them. They're good.
Good team. They are good. Connecticut, I don't really New Mexico State, I still need to study up on a couple more of these teams. Arkansas, who we know. Yeah.
Arkansas and Alabama in that bracket.
I like Arkansas better. I love JD Note, but the other guy that I love for Arkansas, I love Jalen Williams. He's like 6'9" center. He leads the country in taking charges. He's a great passer. He actually does. That's the stat. He leads the country in taking charges. He's a great passer for a big man. He can shoot it. You know, they rely a lot on their starting five. Their bench isn't great, but they're dangerous. And Eric Musselman can really coach.
Alabama's always scary to anyone if they were to meet, because in one game, because they've all got the green light. And if they're just hitting it,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they're, They can beat any team.
They're just, they've been so wild all year, though. Yeah, they'll beat good teams and they'll lose to bad teams. And yeah, that's just
got no shot at making it to the Final Four because they're like, that's, but one
that's
game,
what I think. Oh, yeah. No,
cause somebody a real problem.
I'm with you.
All right. So that's, you can't see anybody beating Gonzaga in that.
I just don't. And it's Gonzaga. But
no, yeah, Gonzaga. Hey, do you have Kentucky coming out of the East?
Yeah.
with your head as well, not just
your I do. I try to look, and if there's anybody in there that I'm like, they give me pause. Mm-hmm. It's UCLA. North Carolina doesn't give me pause. Marquette mm-hmm. doesn't give me pause. St. Mary's, no. Oh, we should mention in the East, I think that there's a chance that the Indiana Hoosiers,
mm-hmm.
they're playing really well, and they've got a kid named Trace Jackson.
Trace. He's lottery, right? I mean, he's
– Yeah, oh, yeah. He's weird. He's fantastic. He's gotten better. They're playing
Trace Jackson Smith. Jackson Davis.
There you go. He's gotten really good. Their team's gotten better. Mike Woodson, their coach, who I played against way back when, they play defense. They get after you, and that's kind of what that's their calling card. And if they can make shots, they're dangerous. But they're in the first four.
Right.
But I could see them. I think UCLA was in the first four last year as well. I don't know how far Indiana could go, but I could see them, possibly winning a game or two.
Didn't mention Virginia Tech, who's coming on like gangbusters and wins the ACC championship.
Yeah, I don't believe. Because Duke, come on. That gives me more reason to believe that Duke is phony.
The Rex Chapman Show, powered by Basketball News, is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. It's daily fantasy simplified. It's just you versus the projected numbers, Josh. You can pick from two up to five players and an over-under on their projected stats for a single game and win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, Josh.
I like the sound of this.
Well, Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, offering every sport you can think of. Your Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. You can take the over on Ja Morant's points and the under on Anthony Davis's rebounds if you want. You can receive a match on your deposits up to $100 using our exclusive promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100.
So hold on, program code NEWS, NEWS, like the news on TV?
That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100. Guess what else? Prize Picks has an award-winning, easy-to-use mobile app available in the App Store and Google Play.
So now we'll move over to the Midwest and the number one seed, Kansas Jayhawks there.
Who we beat by 20. They were healthy. Yeah. We were healthy. On their floor, we blew them out. I don't believe in Kansas at all. Also, they just may be also – they. I dislike Duke just because – I don't really. I like Duke. I dislike Duke because of the Kentucky-Duke rivalry. Mm-hmm. But I dislike Kansas more, just as a Kentucky fan. And I don't know. I really don't know why. I also just don't believe in them. And given that we smoked them, and they had no answers for us in any way. Oscar punked those dudes. And so I feel confident about them now in their bracket. Yeah. You can see where they could win a couple games and should.
Yeah.
Creighton and San Diego State, I'm telling you, both those teams are good. And if if, you know, Kansas takes care of business with the Texas, I think it's Texas Southern and Texas A&M Corpus Christi. If they take care of those guys, neither one of those next games, the San Diego or Creighton, will be cakewalks for Kansas.
Right. I never really see San Diego State until March. It's so West Coast, and I'm not, you know, and every year I go, what? Look at all these athletes.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
They just always have athletes.
And you know what else? That's a good point you make, because they, as you might guess, they're one of the teams that, you know, have really taken good advantage of the transfer portal. And so they got even more athletes, and they got, you know, they filled holes from last year and really had positive results this year.
What do you think about Wisconsin?
Wait, let's get to Providence first.
Oh, okay.
Providence is good. Providence is good. Their coach, Ed Cooley, I love that dude. Like if he recruited me, he'd be one of those guys. I'd be like, oh yeah, I really like him. He gets guys, they play hard. They're no nonsense. They're legit. And I think, like, if Kansas, that's the team that would scare me if I'm Kansas, that's sitting down
right,
there.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're in the.
Yeah. LSU, much like Alabama, and they just fired their coach, you know, LSU.
Seem in disarray, but they could also be the story of it. They came together. You know, as a family's one, everyone against them, and they, you know.
Yeah, but I just don't think they have that kind of talent. You know, they're wild, and they have some guys, they have athletes, but I just don't think they've got, you know, the basketball players that they've had in the last few years. But you know that they are talented. You can see them winning a game or two. Not or two. Wisconsin's good. They've got a kid named Johnny Davis, who he's got a twin brother on the team. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah. Twin brother comes off the bench. Their staff, when they were recruiting him, the assistants had, you know, he's an in-state kid, and they went after him really hard, you know, and like the head coach was like, really, they couldn't believe they really fought for him, like more than if they have anybody else. The kid wanted to go where his brother went, though, too. And they were like, yeah, come on. So he and his twin brother play there. And he comes off the bench, doesn't play a lot. They're you can look at them and tell they're twins. They're built different, and they're different athletically. It's weird. Right. But he's really good. Like, he can defend. His game's not
– National Player of the Year candidate.
Candidate, sure. Yeah. But he's really good. And then – they're disciplined. They played, you know, Greg Gard. He doesn't play just like Bo Ryan used to, but they have a lot of the same, you know, he coached under him and saying, yeah, they play smart. They don't beat themselves. You know, we have nightmares over Wisconsin. Someone brought that up. That's South by get out.
Yeah,
just get out.
Yeah, I even like we're like, well, good. You know, we're playing close. We were up in Indianapolis, and I was like,
yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot that. Are we playing in Indianapolis?
Yeah,
we are. That is gross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get down. Wisconsin, terrific. USC is interesting, but. Neither one of those teams do I particularly like very much to go, you know, past this game. They're both similar. USC, weirdly, they were, you know, they had a really good year last year. They've got the kid Mobley's brother is on the team, Evan Mobley, who's a nice player, way different, you know, three inches shorter, but a good college player. They're good. Andy Enfield, who went there after a terrific run a few years ago, he just signed a new deal. So, you know, they're talented. So,
right. But
now I want to get to the game that I've really been wanting to talk about.
Please do.
Okay. Now, do you know Jacksonville State is playing your Auburn Tiger / War Eagles. And
it's
the reason I say it's over.
Yeah.
So your Tigers are playing Jacksonville State. Now, do you know where Jacksonville State is located?
In Alabama.
Yes. Well done. Right. Now, the reason they're in the tournament, Bellarmine, our Bellarmine, who went from Division II 2 years ago to Division I, they won the conference tournament. They beat Jacksonville, Florida Jacksonville, in the conference tournament championship, which decides the bid. Well, Bellarmine, because of NCAA rules, the first 2 years you're not eligible for the tournament once you go from D2 to D1.
Yes.
Well, they beat Jacksonville, but Jacksonville, the way that it works is the next team to go is the regular season winner, which was Jacksonville State.
Right.
So Jacksonville State's in it. Now, but here's the point that I was getting to. Bruce Pearl is the coach of Auburn. Yes. Ray Harper is the coach of Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, I grew up watching Ray Harper play basketball. He's from Bremen, Kentucky. He was a great high school player. He went to Texas, was the rookie of the year, freshman of the year for Abe Lemon at Texas way back in the day. Then he transferred back to West Kentucky Westland, where he played for my dad at Kentucky Westland. All right, well, Ray has gone on to be a terrific basketball coach. He ended up starting his career at Kentucky Westland. Bruce Pearl started his career over at Southern Indiana in the same conference, and these two guys really do not like one another.
Really?
Like, yes. I wouldn't just throw this out there as
right.
They're not fans of one another. And they had battles. And I found a clip on somewhere someone sent me yesterday of them up in each other's face during one of they don't dig one another. And make no mistake about it, Ray Harper can coach. The other part about why he might not like coaching, Bruce might not like coaching against Ray, is Ray's 13-4 all time against him. So, but yeah,
that's so fun. Keep that in mind. Yeah.
Keep that in mind. And I can't imagine for a minute that the NCAA wasn't thinking about that. I can't think that for a second.
Yeah.
So that will be fun. Keep an eye out. And the other thing about Ray always has athletes. They get after you, and he's a terrific sideline coach. So Bruce, they got their hands full. The other reason they have their hands full, yes, Kessler and Jabari Smith, they're terrific. But Auburn's guards are so erratic. And I think one of them – in the game they lost, went 0-14.
He did. 0-14.
Oh, no, I mean, come on. That's not even one of your best players going 0-14. What my question is, how does that kid get 14 shots?
They killed Kentucky. He's their kind of their vocal leader, or he's vocal.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Very touche.
But they've been so great all year. They've been a little suspect lately, and they do have erratic guards, but they're
good. And again, if they get past Jacksonville State, I've got them going. I think I've got them. No, who do I have going? Oh, I've got that. We haven't even talked about Iowa. I've got Iowa going to Final Four. So
really?
There you go. Yeah.
Why?
They're playing well at the right time. They are. It's Iowa or Wisconsin for me in that bracket. I just think that. Yeah, I think Wisconsin. Those are the two best teams to me in the Big Ten. They kind of. I think they got too many teams in. To be honest, I didn't. I mean, nine teams in. It's insane. But I think those two teams are the best two teams. And they've got Iowa. They're playing well at the right time, and they've got a kid named Keegan Murray. He's no joke. 6'7", lanky. He's a lottery player. And I also a sophomore who last year averaged like, 6.9 points per game. Stayed, came back. He's dirty. Like, he's good. They don't beat themselves. And I'll go back to, they played with the player of the year last year in Luka Garza. All those kids played with him. They played so much through Luka that they had to, that's what he did. Cause he was not a defender. He was not a rim protector. So they had to utilize his offense. They got better defensively, as you might imagine, this year, because he's not out there. And then the emergence of Keegan Murray, their offense just exploded. And they've got the one kid, Jordan Bohannon, point guard, who seems like he's been there for 18 years. I think he's in his sixth year, but he's an amazing college point guard. So they're dangerous. And then Wisconsin, those two teams.
Yeah. Well, you just two lottery picks. Is that what you just said? They would be playing in that game.
Who?
If Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yes, they would.
That would be fun. All right. I guess we're going to go up here to the South region with a team I know you really like as the number one seed in Arizona.
Yeah, that's the team I have winning it. I've got them beating Kentucky in the finals. I have Kentucky taking out the Zags.
I got to go. It's been nice chatting with you.
Yeah, we're going to the Final Four. We're going to the Final Four.
Do anything but put Kentucky and it to a detriment. Last year, we didn't make the tournament, so I got to really look at it and do it, and then I had Kentucky winning. So I always have Kentucky winning. So
yeah,
I don't fare well every year. Okay, Arizona, why do you like them so much?
Okay, so Arizona, I have – their point guard got hurt in
the ankle.
He sprained his ankle pretty bad. It looked pretty bad when it happened, but it's an ankle sprain. I think they also don't play till Friday.
Right.
He healed pretty quickly. He's a sophomore. Hopefully he'll be good to go. Now that's a big if, cause he does kind of make him go. He can also be super wild. You got to watch him, Josh. He throws some of the funniest passes I've ever seen. Like coaches back in the day would be like, get him out. Just get him out. He threw one off a pick and roll between his legs backwards, like straight out of bounds, out of bounds. But he can really get it going. And he's kind of their emotional leader. But they have a young man on that team, Canadian kid, who was named Benedict Mathurin. And Ben Mathurin, he's a pro playing in college right now. And you could put him on any team in the league and he could start for you. I mean, he's polished. He's a sophomore, but it's just sort of exploded. He's an elite athlete. The thing I like most about him is he can really pass. He's got a great feel. He can dunk it any way he wants to. He attacks. He's got poise. He makes right at just under three threes a game. He's not a high volume guy. The other reason I like them is because they're so talented. They've got a 6'7" kid on the wing who's from Phoenix named Daly, who's just nice. And the other thing about them, they just share the basketball. It's like one of those, it's kind of like Kentucky plays, right? You know, where we're just equal opportunity. You know, we don't really have a go-to guy per se. They're kind of the same. They just all share the ball freely. The good thing about Mathurin, though, is if Creasa is out, he's just going to shoulder more of the load which he's perfectly capable of doing. Right. It's not his, probably his favorite thing to do right now, but it also might even make them better. You know, like where he has the ball more of the time, right, where he can make, because he's a good decision maker, but he's elite. And as I've watched, you know, the whole, as many as of the players as I can in the tournament, he's one guy that just, like I stand, he stands out like, wow, he's different. So keep an eye on him.
Let me ask you this, because
and then then they lead the country in shot blocking. They're behind Auburn. They're second in the country behind Auburn. But they're long and athletic. They've got two big kids inside to just beat shit up. They kind of alternate them in and out. And then Mathurin blocks shots. They're really long and lanky, and they're fast. That's the thing that stands out on film, is they run like, you remember back in the day, like Nolan Richardson's teams, Rick Pitino's teams, they get it out and just run it down your throat if they can. They've got that capability if they want to. Yeah. So
ask you this about, because I see so many of the prognosticators, you know, the picking Arizona, a lot of the people we watch on TV, that seems to be, I'd say more people are picking them than Gonzaga, for what I can tell, and even more than Gonzaga too. So
that is definitely happening.
Yeah. So I want to know, what is Arizona's weakness?
It probably is their point guard. He can be wild. He can, you know, kind of shoot him in a game or shoot him out of a game at times. But he's fiery. He's definitely the kid that you're yelling at most of the game as an opponent. If you're in the stands, he's easy to hate. But he's, you know, he's great for college basketball. He's just, and he's, you know, he's got good size. He's a nice player, but, I think they're legitimate. And the other thing about it is Gonzaga and Arizona they sort of stand out. And I try to preface it by saying that, yes, they don't play Arizona. The Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
I forget. 12. Conference of Champions.
Conference of Champions.
And Gonzaga being the same, is that, you know, they don't play the best competition. And Arizona just didn't this year just because their conference was down some. But they're both of those teams just sort of stand out. I think Kentucky does too, but I'm afraid to put them in that category just because I don't know. I don't know if that's with my head or my heart. Because, Josh, I was talking to somebody earlier about some other thing that they'd call it about the tournament. And they asked me what I thought about Kentucky. And I said, you know, just as a fan of Kentucky basketball, I'm speaking for myself, but I think so many people probably in the Bluegrass State love this team so much because we have older players. Mm-hmm. We have 5th and 6th year guys. We have third juniors, Keon Brooks. We have Oscar, who's a sophomore, but he's already been to college for a year at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. We have Kellen Brady, a fifth-year guy who scored over 2,000 points in college. Ty, a young player, but an elite young player.
Mm-hmm. I heard him say it he could be the most poised freshman.
Yes. When I think back about how he played against Duke in the first game to where he is now, Keels kind of destroyed us and destroyed him, just kind of, you know, in his first college game. And he's kind of built like I was. Remember, he was thin. He's thin and hadn't put on a lot of muscle yet as a basketball player. He's physically pretty immature, but the maturity he's shown both physically and as a basketball player from the beginning of the year to now is phenomenal. We said it, you know, just after watching him a time or two, he can get wherever he wants to go on the floor, and he can make any shot. You know, he's got in between shots. He's got runners and floaters. Sometimes I want him to be more, you know, assertive, but I just think that Kentucky team is a really easy team to like, for us as fans. And then for the, you know, national people who follow college basketball, it's a pretty, you know, Oscar is hard to root against, right?
Yeah. Isn't he?
I mean, he's just a joy.
Yeah, he is. He is. All right. Well, back into the South here. Who do you think can give Arizona some problems? You got Tennessee in there, who we know all too well. Who did get screwed?
They did. I still don't get it. You know, they beat us. They beat us and win the tournament. We get a 2 seed. They get a 3 seed, and two Big Ten teams got 3 seeds, and they don't. And 9 teams in the tournament. Yeah. Big Ten got 9 teams in the tournament, and their highest seed is a 3. That's weird to me.
Right. We could have. The SEC was in discussion there at some point. You could have legitimately discussed Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee as a – you could have argued someone as a one. And Tennessee team, probably above Kentucky, you could have argued as a one.
Yes. The team that really got screwed in the whole thing, in my opinion, just from the eyeball test, is Texas A&M. Buzz Williams' team. That nobody ever wants to play that guy. He can coach, man. Yeah. They were playing so well at the beginning of the year. But when I look and I go, Ohio State got in, that and the teams at the bottom of the Big Ten, and we're talking about Texas A&M.
Yeah,
they should be in the tournament anyway.
Yeah,
absolutely. But Tennessee, I do like Tennessee. They guard. Their defense is good, and their two guards are really good. Visconti's a terrific
big.
They're plenty big. They're a good team. And yes, I think that they can, make a run, but I don't see them being better than Arizona. And then I really like Jay Wright, and maybe I think too highly of them every year because of how much I love Jay Wright. Like, he's another guy you would love to go play for. You can just tell. And the way you know a coach.
And he's so handsome.
He is so handsome. The way you know a coach is aces is the way his players talk about him and the way they go back and they do stuff for the program in the summer and they all of that stuff. And Jay Wright is that guy. Like, he's the guy you don't mind sending your kid away to college to play for. They've got Colin Gillespie, who's just a terrific point guard, you know, in the mold of Ryan Arcidiacono a few years ago.
Right.
They still have two guys, Gillespie and I forget the other kid's name off the top of my head, who were on their championship team, you know, 3 years ago. So they've got championship residue. They're a scary team and super well coached. I like the Wildcats.
That'd be fun. Who knows who goes where, but that'd be fun to watch Nova and Tennessee play to go to the Final Four.
Oh, right. No question, right?
That'd be a lot of fun.
No doubt.
All right. So there's your Final Four. Is you got Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And you've got.
I've got Iowa as it stands right now. I'm going to do that. I'm staying with that until at least tomorrow, at which point I'll have to make a decision. But I'm still.
But if it's not going to be them, it's going to be Wisconsin, you're saying.
Yeah, if it's not them, it's going to be Wisconsin. I'm of course rooting for Auburn. It's SEC. You know, that's how we do it. I'm rooting for Tennessee, unless they're playing us. I'm rooting for the SEC, unless, of course, Jacksonville State advances and makes it to the Final Four.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you. That's a lot of chalk, you know. For a year when no one's great.
Nah,
it seem like if there could be a year that's going to be complete chaos, this could be one of those years?
Yeah, the other thing you have to take into consideration is no matter how much these guys have played, I normally say that college players are pros. I say that just because, but
yeah, right.
From a there's a difference in making money and being a professional.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They just haven't played a lot of basketball yet. And I think that really is the joy of March Madness, is that, and why so many people say, I like watching college better than I do the NBA, because there are those people.
It's this sporting event is half of it too. It's the greatest sporting event.
It boils down to this. The players are not as good.
Right.
At any moment, 6 out of those 10 guys out there can boot that thing out of bounds and make a bonehead play. That doesn't happen in the NBA. You know, most of the guys are really good. And when they make a bonehead play, it happens once or twice, maybe a game. It happens all the time in college.
Right.
And, you know, this is a tournament where it's one and done. And I don't care if you're Gonzaga or Kentucky or Creighton or anybody else. If you start an NCAA tournament game and you know this is a one and done thing, and somebody comes out and punches you right in the mouth and you're down 12-1, and you're forced to call a timeout, those are young brains out there,
right?
In the moment, going, oh shit, you know, if we don't get it together, my college career is over, or whatever else it is. And I remember feeling those emotions during timeouts in the tournament. And you're out there and you just, you know, you don't have enough reps in you yet to know how to handle these certain, you know, emotional situations on the biggest stage you've ever played on. That's the other part about it. You know, yes, a lot of these guys, we talked about Mathurin and Boncaro, and they're going to play in the NBA. They've got more days ahead. Mm-hmm. They know that too. The rest of these guys, for the most part, the rest of these guys don't. And imagine how emotionally wrapped up you are in it at this point. Oh, that's why we love it, because it is. It's, you know, the losses are crushing. The wins are.
Every game is a game seven.
Yeah.
You know, every game is that they are kids. They're for the most of them, there is this, all they've done since they were little is play basketball, and they were the best, and they have passion for it, and they worked so hard. That's how they got this level.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the last game they ever play of real organized basketball. This is it. And they've spent more hours doing that than anything but sleeping in their entire lives. And that's,
there's just more unpredictability, you know, more unpredictability.
Right. Right.
And the thing I think I'm finding interesting about, you know, watching more of the tournament and paying more attention to the teams is that you brought up a good point earlier about it's awfully chalky. Well, the thing that I haven't really taken into consideration is that, you know, a lot of these teams that are considered, you know, for instance, San Diego State, and, you know, aren't considered the, you know, elite teams from the elite conferences. A lot of those teams, I feel like they took a step up from where they have been because of the transfer portal, and also because guys could come back for like a sixth season because of the pandemic and all of that stuff.
Right.
So those teams that normally, you know, you might brush off in the first round.
Right, right.
They might have a little more teeth, because a lot of these guys have gone from being all conference players in like the Atlantic 10 to all conference players out at the WCC. Mm-hmm. So they've picked up right where they've left off. And some guys have left programs. Kid from LSU, where did he end up? He ended up at one of the Cal State Fullerton, who's playing in the, I think, who do they play? I forget. Anyway, you know, he went from LSU to out to
Duke. They played Duke.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. And went out there, and, you know, he's like an 18 point scorer now. So, you know, it's changed.
Right. Yeah.
It's changed.
Well, I know we got to get out of here, but I want to know just quickly, because everybody likes to look at the 12-5 games, because apparently, I guess 21. of 25 last years, a 12 has beaten a five.
That's crazy.
And in 2019, three out of four won.
Okay.
12s beat a five. One being Murray State.
Yeah.
And John Morant when they
I've got two 12s beating fives this year.
All right.
And I failed to mention one other team. So I'll tell you the 12 fives first. 12 fives. I've got Indiana, or Wyoming, whoever wins that game, beating St. Mary's. So that 12-5, and then the above 12-5 in the West, we've got New Mexico State. I've got them beating Connecticut.
Okay.
All right. But the other fives hold up, Iowa and Houston, and that's the team I want to talk about is Houston. Houston.
Kelvin Sampson.
Can really do it. He does it as well as anybody. He coaches. He teaches the game. He's been around both the NCAA and the NBA, and he's an elite basketball guy. They always have talent. They always defend. They had a kid last year, Quentin Grimes, and who's playing with the Knicks now, who's having a really nice rookie year for the Knicks. He played at Kansas and ended up finishing his career at Houston. Now he's with the Knicks. But Kelvin can really coach. They defend. They get after you. That's a team that, you know, up there in, or down there, I guess, in the South, that, you know, can really give Arizona some pause early.
All right. Good to know. Those are your 12th. Then that's pretty much,
you know, like, you know, for you. I didn't realize, Josh, that it's one of our favorite numbers. This is our 36th episode. Did you know that?
36.
Yeah. 36. Can you think of any 36s?
Yeah. The ABC affiliate.
Who's some of your favorite 36? ABC 36.
36 in Lexington.
Legendary. Yes. Mm-hmm. Legendary. Mm-hmm.
Then, but you always, a lot of people would go straight to the bus.
Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, good one.
I'm thinking from way back in the day, Gaylord Perry. Gaylord Perry was 36.
Wow. Great.
And then, you got any more?
Rasheed Wallace.
36s. Sheed. And, of course, I thought you'd go with one of your all-time favorites, Shaq in Boston.
Oh, yeah, that's an odd Shaq in Boston, 36. That's an amazing pull. Now in Boston, now the 36 is Marcus Smart, who's
a
very unique player.
I love that guy. But, yeah, buddy, well, you know, I hope your tournament's well. We'll be talking, of course, the next few days, texting and seeing how our brackets are going. Let me ask you, who do you have, buddy? Kentucky doesn't, you know, can't participate, or if let's just take Kentucky off the page.
All right,
Who do you like? Who's going to your Final Four if Kentucky, if you know, just take Kentucky off of it?
All right, as I look at it, I'd say Kentucky. That's who I have.
All right, well, that's fair enough. You know,
I got them coming out of the South, the West, the East, and the Midwest. I got them coming out of every region.
They're going to be tired, but you know what? That's why they condition like they do.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be really tough for them to beat themselves to get to the final game where they are going to have to beat themselves again.
But they can do it. You know, they
hard to have a team beat themselves two games in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's usually they beat themselves. That's usually a bad thing. But this time it's a good thing. Well, Kentucky beat themselves. Yay.
Yeah. The rare grand slam of all every region. Yes.
All right, buddy. buddy.
Well, so that's the way I have it. We'll check back in. We'll probably have another show here coming up before, you know, to
most
each
definitely
weekend, each weekend. Oh, yeah. And we'll see how your brackets do. We'll see it all. I was really educated by you today. This is,
I'm sure
people
you are.
That listen to this should have their friends listen to this who want to try and pick well.
Yeah. I'm still studying. I'm going to try to be smart on TV, Josh, which I shouldn't try to do that. Right.
Well, I think that you'll be just fine. I've been studying a lot of it too, but I've just been studying Kentucky again.
And yeah.
I think they've got a pretty good bench too.
I do that too. I'll be reading some stuff, just trying going down notes, because our research people are aces. They send you so much stuff, but I'll be reading stuff, and then all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, they sound good. And I'll look at their roster, and then I'll go back to our roster and be like, I don't and I get sidetracked for 20 minutes.
I love it. Yeah, right. People don't know. We just it's in the bluegrass state. It's not even
it's in the blood.
This is the best time of the year. A selection Sunday is one of my favorite days, and we get going, and then there's basketball all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day. It's so great.
We're in that. Yeah,
but I don't have any fun.
No,
it's all
I
just
know.
if we play and we win, it's just relief.
That's what
just
I said
relief.
Today in Kentucky, there's winning and misery. Yeah. And sometimes even the winning is misery. And so, but I'm with you. What other people might not realize, the non-Kentucky folks, is that we're in a real honeymoon phase right now of the tournament, where it's, you know, we're a 2 seed and we kind of got screwed out of being 1 seed, and we are riding high. And heaven forbid, and knock on wood, you know how those do, every time there's an early exit, it's like a funeral in Kentucky for like 2-3 weeks. People don't talk to one another. People call in sick and are mad, upset, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, but let's get back to the honeymoon part. Yay. Let's go, Cavs. Let's go, Cavs.
All right.
Well, that's been episode 36 of the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope homeboy from the L-Town, super cool Josh Hopkins. And we will see you back here next time, same channel, for the show powered by BasketballNews.com.